All right, Alexander, we have an anonymous source, an anonymous informant, who has said that former U.S. President Trump is bad-mouthing Florida Governor DeSantis. More anonymous sources. Private remarks from Trump that he's saying that DeSantis is dull and he has no personal charisma. Where's the quote? He says DeSantis has no personal charisma and has a dull personality. Anonymous sources once again. So, of course, we all know about those anonymous sources. But that's the story that we now have.
I love anonymous sources, Alex. My joy comes from anonymous sources. Whenever I want to read a good work of fiction, I go to the anonymous sources. I mean, we have no other evidence, and it's interesting how this story has been spread around the media so fast and so quickly that there has been this tension between DeSantis and Trump. And coincidence, isn't it? I mean, exactly. Biden's ratings are collapsing. The economy is in a mess. Inflation is rising. The rate of growth, which we were hearing about so much about. I suspect, actually, that the economy is essentially in deficit, but in contraction territory already, actually. But anyway, that's the story that, you know, we were having a booming economy. Well, the boom has obviously not. It's obviously run its course. Interest rates are going to rise, increasing problems in the US economy generally, increasing problems in the EU economy. Again, many people may not know this, but the EU economy, the Eurozone, for the first time in its history, is running a trade deficit, which is quite remarkable, actually, and may very well be the shape of things to come. So all these things going on all at the same time. So you've got to find some way to make it seem like the other side, the Republicans. I mean, I'm hearing talk that the Republicans might win 100 seats in the midterms in the House. In other words, a landslide win there. In the event that that all happens, then, of course, in order to avoid that happening, rather, it looks as if the anonymous sources have been sent on the prowl in order to create uncertainties and doubts amongst Republicans. The reality is, if Trump stands, I would have thought that DeSantis will pull back, and DeSantis needs Trump's support if he's going to become president. So I would have thought that whatever feelings each has for the other, the reality is that they support each other. That's my own personal view.
Yeah, I don't think there's any bad blood between them. I've never heard of any kind of falling out between the two. I mean, Trump lives in Florida. DeSantis is governor of Florida. And as a matter of fact, I've heard from DeSantis, Rand Paul, and other Republicans who are thinking about 2024 that if Trump was going to run, they would gladly not throw their hat in the ring. So, I mean, I don't think there's any tension or friction or debate about the plan going forward for 2024. The only question that everyone is wondering is if Trump will run. I mean, that's the issue. If Trump runs, then everyone pretty much is under the understanding that Trump is going to be the guy. If Trump doesn't run, then then we have DeSantis and Rand Paul. And the next question is, who is Trump going to endorse? That's probably the next question. But I don't think there's any confusion from the Republican side of things.
I agree.
As a matter of fact, all the confusion, all the disarray is with the Democrats. They're going to get slaughtered in the midterms.
Yeah,
they're trying. It looks like the only way that they can win any type of election now is to completely redo and federalize the way votes are done and the way votes are counted. I mean, that seems to be their plan now, is let's just upend the system and change the way people vote because we don't have a chance anyway. Yeah. And they're completely imploding. The country's a mess. Biden's at 33%. Kamala's at 28% approval. They're in complete panic. And so where do they turn to? To the media, to anonymous sources, to more stupidity. And possibly Hillary Clinton running. I mean, that says everything to me.
Absolutely.
That they're talking about Hillary Clinton explains everything.
Exactly. Now, I would just add to that. I mean, let's look at DeSantis's record. DeSantis was an exceptionally loyal supporter for Trump right through the time of his presidency. He was one of the strongest critics of the Mueller investigation. He was one of the people who was most outspoken in ridiculing the Russiagate hoax. He built up his political support through supporting Trump. I mean, I can't imagine that he'd want to turn on Trump. And why would Trump, for his part, attack one of his most loyal supporters? I mean, it doesn't make any kind of sense. And I think you put your finger on it. The Democrats are in a mess. They have a president that really, I think they're giving up any hope of holding the White House with him in 2024, if he's even around then. Kamala is proving a disaster, as all of us predicted she would. They don't have anybody realistically who can take either of their place. Talk about Hillary Clinton is a council of despair. So again, with everything else going wrong, and we haven't even touched on the disastrous foreign policy news, the disastrous news in international affairs, with all of that going on, what realistic option do they have? Well, they come back on what they do best, planting anonymous stories in the media, which is still extremely loyal to them, and also trying to tinker with the election laws, which this time isn't going to work because the Republicans are wise to it and are prepared for it much more than they were before, and beyond which, and on top of which, of course, it's not going to pass through the Senate. So, I mean, it's a hopeless idea. By the way, my own personal view is that these changes to the electoral laws that are being talked about would most probably be, almost certainly would be, unconstitutional, in which case there is now ample time, if such a voting bill were to pass, which I can't imagine, but this time there would be enough time to get the Supreme Court and those courts to deal with it. And I think on this occasion, with the complete change in the political mood, you would see the Supreme Court taking contrary action, what it wasn't prepared to do or able to do previously. So this shows you how desperate they're becoming and how they're scrambling around trying to find something that they can do that will keep them in the running.
I'll make two points to finish off my side of the video. One of the reasons why they're panicking, another reason that many people don't talk about, as a matter of fact, the only person I've heard talk about this is the YouTuber Styx. He's talked about this, and I think he has a point. There's also panic because of Trump's Truth Social, which is coming out, which I think that the Democrats may be in a bit of a panic there, because they may be saying, you know what, we've also had a monopoly on the discourse taking place online. And if Truth Social, which I imagine it will get a lot of traffic, especially in the first couple of weeks, just because Trump's name is attached to it. If Truth Social does really, really well, well, then we're kind of in trouble, because now we can't ban Trump. We can't censor him like we did before. No. So now he has a platform to get his message out.
Absolutely.
Plus you couple that with the fact that Rumble and Locals and Odyssey and BitChute and all these alt-tech platforms, Getter, Gab, they're all doing really well. And they may be saying, you know what, we don't have the monopoly on big tech that we had in 2020. There may be some panic there. And I also saw on Tucker Carlson last night, he did a segment on this, and he noted that the media pretty much campaigned for Biden in 2020. Biden didn't really campaign. The media campaigned for him, and Biden just kind of sat in the basement. But he kind of noticed that slowly, you know, you said the media is very much in support of him. Yeah, and Tucker said, yes, the media, they always turn to the media that's very much in support of Biden. But if you notice the past week, specifically this week, we have seen the media start to crack as well.
Yes.
And start to put out some negative stories about Biden. And Tucker noted, if the media really starts to turn on Biden because they see that there's no way to save him either.
Yeah.
Well, then he said Biden is completely done.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I mean, that's absolutely right. And can I just say something? I mean, if you go back to the only time in US politics where the media space was had some kind of relationship to the sort of Democrat dominance we have today. Not to anything like the same extent, by the way. But if you go back to the early 70s, when the Democrats did have a very powerful position in the media and in television, in the newspapers, the Republicans were much weaker at that time. It wasn't as lopsided as it's been recently. But what then happened was that in the late 70s, early 80s, cable news started to appear, talk show radio started to appear, and alternative media space began to be created, one which started to challenge the Democrats and the liberal media that was, you know, up to that point, very dominant. And then what happened, as people began to hear this message across the United States, the mood changed, because people were starting to hear these things. They started to see, or, you know, facts that were being presented to them in a different way. And the result was a shift, a political shift, which led eventually to Ronald Reagan's victory, the Republicans winning control of Congress, which, you know, had once upon a time appeared unthinkable, and a fundamental shift in the political gravity in the United States. Now, the media shift, the development of new media, was a part of that, only a part of that. It wasn't all of it. Partly we had the problems, many problems that were accumulating at that time. But I suspect that there are Democrats old enough around, old enough to remember that, old enough to remember what the damage that was done to them by the appearance of people like, say, Rush Limbaugh and people of that sort. And the fact that the media space is starting to change, the social media space is starting to change, is going to make them extremely nervous. I would add one other thing on top of that, which is, of course, that it's very interesting that we're talking about Republicans and the fact that, you know, this, in a kind of a way, the fact that we're talking about a spat between Trump and DeSantis, a spat which probably doesn't exist. But what it is an admission that the Republicans have viable candidates. There's obviously Trump himself. There's DeSantis. There's all sorts of other people. You can look at the Republicans and there's all sorts of dynamic, effective, articulate, interesting politicians. Look at the Democrats. An empty suit. The most unpopular vice president since the beginning of time, and the old war horse, Hillary Clinton, being brought out, being wheeled out again. The Democrats look exhausted and they look politically bankrupt. Even Bernie Sanders, who, you know, I mean, he's now, I think, irreparably damaged goods. But I mean, he simply isn't someone that you can present as a fresh candidate. And, you know, you come up with people like Buttigieg. Buttigieg turned out to be the hopeless mediocrity we always said he was. They just haven't got the wealth of talent, political talent and personalities that the Republicans do. And they don't also have that level of traction with large parts of the American electorate that the Republicans today have. So I think all of this is coming together, and you can understand the panic and the fear. You can almost smell it.
Yeah. I look at it like a sports team in a way. If this was a sports team, if the Democrats were a sports team, I would take it like this. I would say, if I was like the front office, the general manager, I would say, look, we're going to lose 2022 and we're going to lose bad. So we're going to have a losing record. Perhaps we're going to be bottom of the table, and that's fine. And we're going to lose in 2024. And that's also fine. But I would take these next 3-4 years,
yeah,
and I would get rid of all of our old players.
Yeah.
I would get rid of all of our young players, like the squad, trade them off, let them start their own party, the Progressive Party of America, let them go, cut them loose. And I would just start looking for new people in the spirit of what it meant to be a traditional liberal, in the spirit of Kennedy. Even in the spirit of God, I hate to say it, but even in the spirit of like a Bill Clinton type for domestic policies, not for foreign policy, but at least for domestic policy. Even Bill Clinton was moderate when you compared him to to what you have now. But that's what I would do if I was the Democrats. I would say, look, it's we're going to lose 2022. We're going to lose 2024. Let's accept it. We're going to lose bad. But let's just get rid of everybody that we have. And let's start new and try to capture what we were during the years of Kennedy going forward.
Absolutely. Well, indeed, absolutely. That would be the absolute right plan. And, you know, quite often it happens in British politics in the old days, not today, but it used to be very much like that, that a party that had been in power a long time would sense that the time had come, you know, for it to leave. There would be an election, it would lose, it would use the opportunity to reorganise, it would bring fresh people together, it would rebuild itself, it would have a go at the other side from opposition, and it would be recharged and renewed to come back into power and to do various things. I mean, there's been ample examples of that in British history. The Conservatives have done it repeatedly. The Labour Party used to do it. The Labour Party did it in the 30s. When they, you know, they lost badly in the 30s, but they reorganized and they rebuilt, and they did it again in the 60s, by the way. But the Democrats today, having that kind of vision, having that kind of grand plan, being able to give up all the privileges and of office, all the money flows, the Democrats also, with all the massive skeletons they've buried in all kinds of cupboards. I mean, Washington must be full of them. I mean, I can't see the Democrats today really thinking in that kind of fashion, looking at things in that kind of far-sighted, that kind of far-sighted way. What you are discussing is a business perspective, and it's a business perspective that could work. But these people are not business people in that sense. They are a bunch of utterly exhausted lobbyists and political operators, and that kind of vision, that kind of sense of purpose, that gift for reorganisation and renewal, that isn't part of them. They will cling on as long as they can. They will use every device, every expedient, every tool to hold on as long as they can. And of course, when they fail, they will fail utterly. And I don't personally think that, I think much more likely at that point when, you know, the collapse comes, instead of the Democrats coming together, what you're much more likely to see is a civil war with massive recriminations, with the progressive wing, the AOC wing, criticising the DNC wing and vice versa, and each holding the other responsible for the failure. And we could see all kinds of problems coming to the head over that time. Eventually, because politics always requires an alternative, you would see some kind of alternative emerge, and it might come out eventually of what was left of the Democrat Party. But I suspect that's a long way off, and realistically, it's not part of politics today.
Yeah. Instead of thinking long-term and rebuilding, they're going to trample on the Constitution and try to figure out every trick that they can put in play in order to retain power, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And become abhorrent as a consequence to more and more people, which is the inevitable product of that sort of thing.
Yeah, they'll double down on the neoliberalism, the authoritarianism, the tyranny, the virtue signaling, the wokeness.
And the unbelievable abuse of language. I mean, the way they're accusing everybody of being anti-Democrat, for example, anti-democratic, of when they're talking about the threat to democracy in America. I mean, this extraordinary, over-the-top, hysterical language is incredibly dangerous, in my opinion.
They accuse people in their own party.
Well, of course, absolutely they do, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's spiralling out of control. And I'm going to tell them something else, by the way. I mean, you can't play a game like Russiagate twice. You can't even do an impeachment three times. I mean, that playbook is exhausted now.
Yeah. It's going to come back and get them.
It's going to come back and get them. Indeed, I mean, that's the other thing we haven't mentioned. But, I mean, There's also the ticking bomb of the Durham investigation. They must be wondering, they must be stressing what that's going to come and throw at them over the next few months. And of course, if Durham bides his time until after the midterms, and if the midterms, the Republicans win a landslide in the midterms, then you could see Durham and the Republicans in Congress join up. Now, I'm not suggesting that Durham is acting with a political agenda, but of course, he would have a far more receptive audience in Congress if it was a Republican Congress than he would if the Democrats were running things.
Yeah. No one buys these anonymous sources tricks anymore either.
No.
But there is one thing that the Republicans have to be careful of. They do have one problem, one big problem, and those are the neocons and the rhinos.
Absolutely, quite.
That is a problem for the Republicans.
Absolutely.
And not DeSantis and Trump.
Absolutely. And you can see also the way in which, I mean, there's a whole group of Republicans that are trying to box any future Republican administration on foreign policy by taking extreme neocon lines, pushing for extremely fierce sanctions on Russia, trying to cut off any room for manoeuvre. That's not about Russia. I mean, I think it's the point to make. It's not even about foreign policy. It's about an internal battle that is going on within the Republican Party. And here I should say that I'm getting... I can't discuss it because it's confidential, but like our friend Robert Barnes, I'm getting some internal information about all of this, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that's the real story, not DeSantis Trump. If you want to look at the Republicans for any shortcomings or any problems ahead, it's the rhinos.
Exactly.
And then the neocons. That's the problem. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, we will leave it there. The Durant.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U, and Durant Shop. Good day.
Absolutely.
That's the
good
code.
Day mug. Indeed, always there. Another nice pot of Earl Grey tea, by the way, lurking somewhere in the background.
Use that code, 10% off all merch. Take care.